Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
This. Yay! Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Silly question, but how much do you miss the end zone?
Oh, I think it misses me.
So Gronk with a little laugh yesterday, discussing his lack of touchdowns. One touchdown. Camp first drive of the season. Hasn't found the end zone since. This is one of the great touchdown makers in NFL history. I mean, he's got like a Mossian pace in terms of touchdowns.
I mean, it's pretty close to one per game. Again, I looked it up earlier. I think it's 76 and 108 starts or something like that. Or 108 games, not starts. 108 games. Every four games, Gronk catches three touchdowns. That's how you have to think of it. They've played eight games. He's got one.
Truly one of the great touchdown makers of all time. Has one touchdown this year. It came on the first drive of the season. Hasn't gone back there yet. Furthermore, he's been targeted in the red zone only twice this year. Stunning number. Stunning.
I mean, that is hard to believe. Especially for a team that last week was in Buffalo and had to kick how many field goals? Four?
I can't remember.
Five?
A lot.
Four. Like, it was ridiculous. So they get down there and he's not getting targeted and they couldn't score touchdowns? How does that make sense?
And his numbers against Buffalo are ridiculous, too. 12 touchdowns, 69 receptions. Wink, wink. But that he only ended up with whatever it was, 43 yards, 46 yards. I mean, that was extremely uncharacteristic.
Yeah, I think he's got more yards and touchdowns against the Bills than any other team.
According to our intern, Tucker there from Harvard. Thank you, Tucker.
Tucker.
Red zone targets. He ranks 7th on the team.
Wow.
7th on the team in red zone targets. Behind James White, which is okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Is it okay that he has fewer red zone targets than Cordell Patterson?
No.
No.
Is it right that he has fewer red zone targets than Rex Burkhead?
No.
No.
Is it
How
right?
long's he been on IR for? Oh my God.
Tucker, did you check this? Is it right that he has fewer red zone targets than Julian Edelman?
Yeah, I could go 50-50 on that
Is it right that he has fewer red zone targets than Josh Gordon?
No.
No.
Is it right that he has fewer red zone targets than Philip Dorsett?
No. And
you
he
know
has
what?
Done
in fact, I take it back. Everyone should be behind Gronk
Thank
in the
you.
Red zone.
Thank you. Everyone.
Everyone. I take it back. Even James White. No. You want to say that White's close? Fine. But he should not be first. Gronk should be first. You
He's
have that
seventh.
Kind of open
He's
in the red
to
zone.
To Tucker.
He should get the ball all the time.
It's better not be wrong.
I mean, he should be number one in red zone targets. You want to say that White's close and he's second? Fine.
I can live with White at one. Dorsett's literally not even like played the last couple of weeks.
Useless.
What are his targets?
He's useless.
Last week.
He's useless. So's Burkhead. And so's Cordarrelle Patterson. Useless.
Okay. So is this about usage or is Gronk not getting open? He's not there for Brady.
So I think it's both. I do. I think it's both. And because clearly they have tried to minimize the impact on him because the Kansas City game told you that. Like all of a sudden they get to the end of the game. They need a couple of plays and Gronk gets the ball. But I also think if you watch it, it feels like he gets doubled at the line of scrimmage a lot and can't break through it like he used to. I mean, again, I'm just using, you know, eyeballs during the game. It's not like I'm pulling a Bedard with a box of Oreos and sitting there watching the tape of the whole game.
Physically, he doesn't feel like the same guy. He doesn't feel like the same guy. Mike Lombardi. Jimmy, can we pull the Mike Lombardi cut, if you don't mind, please? So Mike Lombardi, again, does his weekly podcast. He's been on Gronk from early on in the season. So maybe he's, I don't know, maybe this is a bill account? I don't know, but Lombardi, well, this is what he sees. This is what he saw from Gronkowski Monday night in Buffalo.
You know, you can watch the tape. You could say the tape. I think Gronk's a great player. I've always think Gronk's a great player. I think Gronk is a Hall of Fame player, mm-hmm. but he's not right. He doesn't look like the same player right now. He's always catching the ball in the crowd. You know, he's not separating from anybody. He's a huge target. Don't get me wrong. Huge target. He gets, you know, and he makes some unbelievable catches. But in terms of just having open, being open, it's not easy right now for him, whether it's his back, whether it's his lower body. I don't know. But I'll say that again. You could see it last night. It was fairly clear.
Okay, so again, that's Lombardi yesterday.
But look, I don't think that that's totally wrong. I mean, to me, something's not right there. Something's not right.
Okay, there's whispers and rumblings that he's actually fine physically. It's mental. That he's having a little crisis of confidence. He's lost his mojo. He's feeling, and I'll play some Tom Curran sound here in a second, but he's feeling sort of shut out by the organization, maybe shut out by his quarterback. He's lost some confidence in his game or in the organization's trust in him. He's lost confidence in that, and it's sort of impacting him. And this thing has sort of crept into the Gronk world. And it's just sort of weird. Like when I say, do we have a Gronk thing? Because it's like his targets are down, had another game where he wasn't an impactful guy in Buffalo. He was apparently sort of grumpy or sort of off after the Buffalo game. Then he does his usual media thing yesterday, and that was a weird session. He walked off after 3 minutes and was really sort of mopey or lifeless when asked about all, you know, his production and all this stuff. He doesn't have the same verve, same
joie de vivre,
same whatever, exactly. And he's just sort of off, and then today he's not out there. Today he doesn't make practice today. So sort of like what's going on here? And it's his back, I guess, is flared up, which is horrible news. You know, you'd rather it be a mental health day than a physical health day. Like a mental health day, you know, go home, recharge the batteries, get right and come back tomorrow. If it's a back, you know, they're really porked. But there's a mental thing going on here. That press conference yesterday that was sort of off, Tom Curran on NBC Sports Boston last night said this is par for the course.
It's been going on all season, really. You know, he has had a very small role in the offense for a variety of reasons. Early on, it was because he was the only target. Then I think his body started to bother him a little bit. I don't think it's extreme, but I think he feels vulnerable right now. I mean, after the Kansas City game when you saw Brady take his face in his hands and say, forever, bro. Well, Phil later asked Gronk what that was all about, and Gronk confirmed that was because I thanked him for going to me down the stretch. Why does Rob Gronkowski have to thank Tom Brady? Because he feels vulnerable. He feels marginalized. And it's a very interesting thing, and I think that goes back to April when the Patriots threatened to trade him and had him on the block. And it's just, I don't think it has anything to do with money. I think it has to do with how he feels about his position here.
He feels vulnerable and marginalized.
That's so weird to me. I mean, he should be the most confident, one of the most confident guys in the NFL. He's the best tight end of all time. So I can understand if he felt tentative and a little off because he's been under the knife with his back so many times, and he feels like maybe one bad hit and he's, you know, he needs a ramp to get into his house, God forbid. But because he's not getting looks and because he hasn't been targeted, so now he feels, I don't know, marginalized? Like
marginalized.
That, yeah, that's odd to me.
I mean, the coach did try to trade him.
So
I mean, that's that is basically, we don't want you anymore. And there was intervention there that kept him. Otherwise, he's gone. So again, you show up for every work every day, knowing that your boss is looking at you going, if it were up to me, you'd be out of here. So that's one thing. But the other thing with Gronk, I'm sorry, there's got to be a physical element.
It has to be.
There's got to be a physical element.
Him being on an incentivized contract just like Brady this year, I would think he'd want to, like, you know, shove it. You know, right down Bill's throat. Oh, okay, you wanted to trade me, you doubt me, okay, I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove you're wrong here, and then I'm going to try to get separation, I'm going to be Gronk. And for him to kind of sound as meek as he did yesterday at that press conference and to hear this, it just doesn't make any sense.
See, thanking Brady for throwing to him?
Yeah, right. See, that's why it convinces me that there's got to be a physical element. Because a guy like, typically, they go hand in hand. You start to get, you know, you start to question yourself when you're not feeling right and you can't do the things you usually do.
Or is he just being a big baby? He's sort of a high-maintenance guy. He is.
I wouldn't rule that out.
There's always a Gronk thing. There is.
I still think he's not right, though.
Is he hurt? Is he not hurt? Is his dad pushing him to not play? Is the team pushing him to play? Is it contract? Is he going to go wrestle? Is he going to retire? You know, what's he doing? There's a certain level of Gronk neediness and drama, a little bit of an NBA kind of player, I think. Is that just what's going on? He's being sort of a needy superstar?
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. Look, it's usually not one thing. I'm just telling you that I don't think he's healthy. So if he were healthy, I think a lot of these other things he can tolerate.
Okay, so that's on the table. Also, Brady v. Rodgers, which is, as I mentioned to lead the show, is going a little sideways up my keister. I'll tell you why exactly right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
A lot of talk going on these days about who is the greatest ever, about who has the titles, raw talent, the most clutch moments. I get it. It's a tough call. I mean, even the jersey numbers are the same. But maybe the best way to settle this debate is to play it out head to head. I'll watch that.
So there's that great commercial, and it is great, for NBC for the Sunday night game. Michael Jordan doing the spot for Brady Rogers. And it's even clever, set up like you think he's talking about him and LeBron. Titles versus talent. It's even the same number, 23 and 23. But he's talking about 12 versus 12 and Rogers and Brady. So it's like, it's a well done. It's cool again. Like, I just say it's another example of a special, special time here in Boston where Bill Belichick voices the Red Sox World Series broadcast and Michael Jordan voices the Brady Rogers Sunday Night Football game. It's like, all-time greats talking about all-time greats and just cool, really cool spot. Should get you excited for the game, all of that.
Yeah, and look, again, we've said this before, but Brady is the Jordan of football now.
No question.
I mean, that's what he is. He's the Jordan of football.
But this is what bothers me. In this instance, and I said before, I hope they don't believe it. I just hope they're doing this for dramatic license and promo purposes to set up the game. Fine. But don't tell me they believe that Aaron Rodgers actually belongs in the all-time conversation with Tom Brady. Don't tell me that. That's ridiculous. Aaron Rodgers belongs nowhere near Tom Brady in terms of an all-time discussion. All-time discussion? That's not Brady's peer. Brady's peer is Joe Montana and Johnny Unitas. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about historical arguments. All time. Aaron Rodgers is not in Tom Brady's ballpark. He's not in Tom Brady's universe in terms of all-time great players. But are they trying to shoehorn this as an all-time great debate? That's annoying. Just like it annoys me with everyone with LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I don't think LeBron James is anywhere near Michael Jordan. But at least he's closer than Aaron Rodgers is to Tom Brady. LeBron James is building a resume that's up there. Aaron Rodgers has been to one Super Bowl. You don't put him in the conversation with Tom Brady. That's stupid.
So the first time I heard this, when it got to that part of it, you know, and they're talking about five championships, I'm thinking, these guys aren't in the same area there. But then they sort of get to ability, and I say, well, this is what they're doing. They're just pumping the thing up, and it is, you know, one guy has better ability, the other guys get the achievements, and that's the way they're trying to hype it. So once I got past that part of it, I was fine. Because that's what they're doing.
But the whole LeBron thing drives me crazy. It's like, you know, we've always got to have the next guy and the best guy now. Where does he compare all time? And he's as great as anyone that's ever played. No. Sometimes no. Sometimes the best guy now does not compare historically. And if Aaron Rodgers is the best guy now, he doesn't compare historically to Tom Brady. I'm sorry, he doesn't. The Aaron Rodgers argument has to be he's in with Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and Dan Marino and guys like this. This is who Aaron Rodgers is. You want to have an Aaron Rodgers debate with those guys. He's not in the same breath as Tom Brady. He's not.
No, the resumes don't even compare. So he's only been to one, right?
Yes.
And you know he won it, but he's only been to one.
And again, to Rodgers' credit, he's admitted it this week. He didn't say in his conference call, he said it somewhere else that, well, Tom's got five Super Bowls, so that pretty much ends all the arguments. He said that. And when they asked him, you know, we played you the sound about playing to 41, and he says, well, you know, Tom's an outlier. We're not Tom. So at least, like, Aaron Rodgers doesn't play into it. It's like, no, Brady's a whole different thing. But NBC or anyone else trying to shoehorn that into being one thing is enough. I mean, good Lord, Tom Brady left Peyton Manning in the dust. Never mind Aaron Rodgers. So there is no comp.
Yeah, there's no comp for Brady, period. I mean, again, the closest you're going to get is probably Montana. But I don't mind them hyping it the way they did. I'm okay with that. Like, when you really weigh it out, it is pretty cool. I mean, if you were to say coming into this year, who are the two best quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah, it's those guys. It's been those guys for the last 10 years.
And they don't play against each other ever. To me, this is the real injustice of it. When you start to look at it, they've played once. It was that game in Green Bay. The other one doesn't count.
Okay.
Because Rodgers wasn't who he is. He sucked. They've only played two times. The first one was 35-0. I mean, you know, that would be...
Favre bagged out of the game after a couple series because I think he had gone hunting the day before and was all messed up from hunting.
So I was just going to ask you, did Favre actually start game?
It was at Green Bay, and Favre, the opening of the Wisconsin hunting season was the day before. He told the guys this in the production meeting on the TV crew. They were talking about it. The day before the hunting season began the day before, and Favre cut short the production meeting because he's like, I got to get out of here and go hunting. And he spent the day in a deer stand, doused in deer urine. Who knows? Maybe slugging, you know, beer out of the back of a pickup truck. Who knows? I mean, isn't that what you do when you go hunting? And he couldn't post the next day. He started, of course, to keep the streak going, but he bagged out of the game in the second or third series. And that's when Rodgers came in. Yeah, that game doesn't count. I think Rodgers was a rookie there, or second year or something.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's once. They've played once.
So, anyway, your calls. You've been waiting patiently. Thank you for doing so. Joey in Londonderry.
Go ahead, Joey. Hey, you don't worry about Gronk in week 8. You worry about Gronk at the end of the season when it counts. Okay. He'll be there.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay.
Number two, this debate with Rodgers and Brady, it's two separate debates. I hate when people start talking about the different types of debates about ability or achievements. It's who runs the offense better. Who's smarter at the line of scrimmage? And who actually runs a play that's called in correctly? It's like giving the ball, distributing it to the right people, using the weapons around them to move the ball forward to score points.
Okay, so I don't think that's the big gap between the two, though, because I think Rodgers is exceptional to line of scrimmage. He's tremendous. And he can read a defense. He can do all that. Does he call the play that's sent in? That's different. I don't know about that. But he's a extremely smart player. The game slows down for him. He sees the field. He reads defenses. He's as good at the line of scrimmage as Brady or Manning. So, no, that's not the the separation with Brady and Rodgers is Brady's work ethic, commitment, you know, the ability to grind it out, the leadership, that thing. That thing Brady has more than anyone I've ever seen in my life in any sport.
I mean, intensity, really, right? It's like he's intense about all of it. He just approaches it with a level of focus. I'm chuckling because, you know, inevitably it turns into let's mock Rodgers. Bill Belichick himself gushed with praise over this guy. Like, it is irritating that every time you start getting into this discussion, Patriots fans get all riled up about it.
Some just don't like nice things being said about another quarterback. Remember all the Patrick Mahomes pushback we got a couple weeks ago, all because people were saying nice things about Patrick Mahomes. It's okay to say a nice thing about another player, folks, or not. If you can't handle it, you can't handle it. I can't help you. But that's not every Patriots fan. There are adults in the room. Some, I think. We've got Mark in Columbia on Rob Gronkowski. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mike. Hey, I was thinking of watching Rob Gronkowski. He reminds me so much of Mark Bavaro from the Giants from years ago.
No question.
They both lived by physicality and intimidation of defenses.
And you can't hold up. I'm sorry, Mark. Thank you for the call.
Right, and Bavaro didn't hold up. We were looking this up earlier. His last year with the Giants was when he was 27. Then he missed a whole season. Then I think he played 1 year with Cleveland and 2 with Philly, and that was it. It was over.
Done at 30?
Yeah-ish.
And where's Gronkowski, 29?
I think that's right.
So it would make all the sense in the world if Bill Belichick looked at that and who coached Mark Bavaro and was there for that and is firsthand with Gronkowski, and never mind Gronkowski's off-field stuff and off-season stuff, which feels like it gets goofier by the year, where if Bill Belichick said, let's get out ahead of this. Let's be early here, not late here. And could Bill have been right? That's what you're going to begin to wonder here if this continues with Gronk, which I will say again, probably won't. Because we're doing this today, Gronk's going to go for 3 touchdowns, and the Packers are just dumb enough to do what these other teams have not done, which is double him and hit him up at the line. The Packers will play him straight up, and Gronk will probably torch him. So that's my prediction. But if the other thing happens, if he continues to falter, you're going to wonder, should they have traded him?
Yeah, it still doesn't change the fact that Bill tried to trade him. I mean, that's a fact. So they tried to move him, and the thing got blocked. Gronk has admitted that.
And will that
Gronk confirm the story?
Will that segment of fans hold that against Brady because Brady threatened to retire if Gronk was traded? And they had to bring him back. They had to bring him back. But I wonder though. You do have those factions that are Team Bill or Team Brady. I'm Team Tom all the way. But he doesn't look like the same player.
But this goes back to that, which is if Bill was just given his own devices to run the team, he would have traded Gronk for first round pick. But if he does that. Then Gronk threatens to retire, Brady threatens to retire, and the owner steps in and says, we're not having any of this, don't trade Gronkowski. So the quarterback and the owner are running the team, not the coach. Like, just to dramatize the thing, that's that gets along those lines.
I don't think that that's that much of a dramatization.
It is a dramatization.
Yeah, maybe
we're just fleshing it out on air, which also, you know, I now wonder, maybe the last couple of weeks, Bill's standing there in the sideline, sees this, you know, shell of Gronk, and he just thinks to himself, I told you. Should have traded.
And if you want to be really, just to be sure, we're not going to throw him in the red zone, so the stats are down.
Right.
But again, that's on Brady as much as anyone, so...
If you're going to make me keep him, he's not worth $13
million. Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It really is a difference maker.
Ooh. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Well, he killed us the last time we played him, so... I mean, he's a great player. He does everything well. He's... Reads coverage as well. Very, very accurate throwing the ball. Got a great touch down the field. Short intermediate. They get a lot of catch and run plays. A lot of that's because of his great accuracy. Puts the ball right on the receiver and doesn't have to break stride and can get just keep running with it. Very mobile in the pocket. Extends plays. Really good vision down the field. Uses a cadence well. Is a good situational player. You know, one of the great quarterbacks. You know, in National Football League, no question about it. Does everything good. Didn't play golf. He's a good golfer too.
Okay, Belichick on Rodgers there. Wrap it up with your calls. We'll be as quick as possible. Please, you be as quick as possible so we can get to everybody. Daniel, go ahead.
So you asked the question earlier in the show, how long would Roethlisberger put up with Belichick? Belichick's antics? Really? How long would Belichick put up with Roethlisberger?
Well, same. It's a good point.
Okay. I mean, and now I know you're coming from a disgruntled Packers fan, so that's why you're ripping on your own quarterback. But Tony just agrees with everything you say anyways. So he's going to agree with you that now Roethlisberger is the dreg of quarterbacks. And it's all Tom Brady. How many rings do you think
Tom... So, Danny, can I defend Maz for a second? Since what he's here is a dreg of all court, you have him ranked ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
I do.
So what are you talking about?
Danny doesn't listen. He doesn't want to hear that.
Oh, okay. No, you agree with Felger. You think Rodgers is not as good as what you said he was even a year ago, Matt.
Danny, when we had a discussion recently about ranking the quarterbacks of this era, I had Roethlisberger ahead of Rodgers.
Okay, fine.
I'm sorry that doesn't fit your agenda, Danny.
No, it has nothing to do with that. You guys find a way to blame Belichick for everything, okay? Now you're basically saying the NFL is a players' league like the NBA. How many rings do you think Tom Brady would win under McCarthy, Felger? How many?
A couple.
He would be lucky to get the 3 Super Bowls. And are you adding the who would put up with Bill's antics by putting 8 Super Bowl appearances in 5 rings? Are you putting that in the equation?
Yes, I am. Yes, I don't think Ben Roethlisberger, I'm not talking about his ability as a quarterback. I'm talking about his character as a man. He would not put up with Bill Belichick. That's on Roethlisberger, not on Bill. I'm not demonizing Bill. Demonizing Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay, but any of those quarterbacks, you name the top 5 in the league right now, okay? Why haven't they won 5? It's got to be something to do with the coach, don't you think?
Of course it is.
Okay, so you don't bring that up. Now the fact that Gronkowski is not getting the football, somehow what? That's Belichick's fault? Are you going to blame him for that? Are you going to blame Belichick for that now, too?
Nope, not at all.
Who's this little fraternity, brother? Tom Brady's not
See, Danny, you know what, Danny? Nothing pisses me off more than when people misrepresent what we say. Okay? So earlier in the show today, you know what? We had a whole discussion about how the reason that Brady has achieved and played in the postseason games he has and Rodgers has not is because Bill Belichick is able to coach better during the regular season to get the Patriots home games. I don't expect you to listen to all 4 hours of the show, but please, for once, stop talking out your ass.
Yeah, Tony, listen, your tone is always the same. It's always about demonizing Belichick.
I'm not demonizing Belichick. I just told you I spent the beginning of the show. I spent the beginning of the show praising him for crying out loud. But, you know, I don't expect you to listen to all 4 hours. So you hear the parts you want to hear. Right, again, stop talking out your ass. Tom Brady has played 22 home playoff games. Aaron Rodgers has played 6. You know who gets the credit for that? Belichick. You happy now, Danny? We didn't demonize him. We canonized him. How about that? You okay with that now? God, blow it out your ears. Oh, I'm so sick of that. Good God. Don't change the freaking discussion. That's not what we said. I hate that. Hate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, we pretty much demonize everyone. One and two on Gronkowski. We're kind of almost giving him credit for calling it on Gronkowski. That that Bill didn't have the say to do what he wanted to do, and maybe that was the right play. If Gronkowski continues to trend the way he's trending, maybe Bill had it right on him, and he was precluded from doing it by the coach and the quarterback and the owner. So again, here's Brian and Lynn. Hi, Brian.
Hi, guys. I'm a big fan. Please don't yell at me. Anyway, look, I wanted to call to say, obviously the league is pumping up this game like it's going to be fireworks. You got Brady and you got Rodgers. Rodgers is a great quarterback, but this game is going to be completely underwhelming. Who's he going to throw the ball to? Murray, you want to talk about a whale of gutless bums? Let's talk about that Packers offense. You guys want to see fireworks? Wait a few weeks until the Minnesota Vikings get here and Kirk Cousins starts slinging the rock all over the yard. What are the Patriots defense going to do about Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph and Dalvin Cook? That's going to be fireworks. I will hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you for taking my call again.
Okay, babe. Yeah, very polite.
Well, Devontae Adams is nasty, and Cobb, even though he's kind of a shell of
himself. The Vikings are better.
No, they are, but he's kind of right. I watched that game against the Rams. What the hell is Exxon Valdez Scantling and some of these other guys I see that he's throwing to, like, huh?
Equanimeous
St. Brown?
I don't know. I don't know who these people are. I don't. He doesn't have a great supporting cast. Minnesota has a tremendous supporting cast.
Thielen and Diggs might be the best two receivers.
Why aren't they better?
Minnesota?
Yeah, why? They're like,
their defense has slipped.
Like 4-3-1 or something?
Yeah, their defense has slipped this year. They had a hard time early in the year. They fell asleep against Buffalo at home, for crying out loud. I don't know how good Cousins has been. Cook's been out recently, too.
Cousins was garbage against the Saints the other night.
But if you're talking about collection of skill players,
the
Saints might be the best in the league.
Diggs might be my favorite receiver in the league.
I mean, the collection of them. Add in the tight end and the backs. They're loaded.
I don't know why they're not better. Jim in Weymouth. Hi, Jim.
Hi. So, talking about the Patriots possibly limiting Gronk touches, I thought the same thing. And I said, well, wouldn't they tell him that, so he's not a complete head case, that we're going to limit you? Then I realized they can't tell him because he's going to throw it right back in their face. Why the hell did you put me on an incentive-laden contract if you're going to limit me? And they probably don't want to have that conversation.
So maybe, I think it's smart to limit him. You have to manage him and get him through to the finish line. So if they're managing him, I'm all for it. Except, the red zone's really the one place not to limit him. The throw that I'm limiting is that deep ball down the seam where he gets the full head of steam and he's the locomotive heading into the safety, and that's how he's gotten hurt on so many of his plays. It's how he tore his ACL. It's how he ripped his ankle. It's how he was concussed last year. It's how he had that, was it shoulder or chest or whatever the thing? There's an Earl Thomas hit, and then he went down against the Jets. So it's all on that same play. Like, that's the one I'd limit him. If I'm in the red zone, the contact isn't as, you don't get the full head of steam. If you catch it in the end zone, you're not even getting tackled. So, like, that's where I would say the wheels are off, the governor's off in the red zone.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. To me, maybe it has something to do with the way defenses are approaching him down there, and there are two guys on him at the line, and Brady immediately just checks to something else. But now that I think of it, there was a throw to him in the red zone in the Buffalo game. There was one down by the pylon that should have been picked.
He was covered, absolutely.
The linebacker was in front of him and had him covered over there, and Brady kind of lofted it out there.
Was that thrown from inside the 20? That's what determines.
No, that ball was inside the 10, I think, or the 15. At least that was way down there because Brady threw it sideways. I'll double check it. But I'm almost 100% certain that ball was inside the 10-yard line.
And Brady was covered. I mean, Gronkowski was covered like a blanket.
That ball could have easily been picked.
Billy in Rhode Island, thanks for holding on. You got a Red Sox thought for us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did have a Red Sox thought until I've been listening to football for about a half hour.
Sorry.
So I'm going to go with you guys on football. Brady, I think you got it right, Felger. I think this guy is a leader. He makes everybody else better around him. If you look at the roster, these guys are not superstars. And they keep coming through. They fight hard, and it's because of him. He gets that team playing football. As far as Maz is concerned, the reason he just got in trouble is because he's a CYA. Here's his sentence. The Red Sox might get beat by Houston, but then again, you never know. They could beat them. So what the hell does that mean? Stay with your guns. Felger does it. Jimmy does it.
I do.
Maz, stay with your gun. Pick a subject. Stay with your conviction, and that's it. That's all I got to say.
Thanks, Billy.
Billy, apparently you don't listen either. I picked Houston to win in 7. Okay, I said if you're going to hold a gun to my head, I'll pick Houston in the series. But apparently you don't listen to that. You must be eating the same crap that Danny's eating, for crying out loud.
And
maybe the two of you dying together. And I'm crying out loud.
And I did my best not to give a prediction, to equivocate and try and play both sides of it. So I get credited with taking a stand on that. I tried to weasel my way out of that. Like I'm trying to weasel my way out of most things now. Matt in Framingham. Hi, Matthew.
All right, I'm gonna give Matt a break. So it's Milwaukee, Wisconsin week. So Felga, who do you think is going to cover Greek the Freak tonight? And also for the football game, did a lot of these people calling in watch the Packers play the Rams last week? Because they had that game in hand the whole way. And plus, three of their top receivers have been injured, and they're going to be there in New England to play in New England.
Is Cobb healthy?
And excuse me?
Is Cobb playing?
Cobb, I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
Cobb, he played last week, right?
He did. I guess you're right.
Yeah, and then you also have Allerton coming in there. And then, of course, Devontae Adams. But who I want to talk about is their defense is underrated. That number 23 was the Jari Alexander. He's a rookie. They kept going after him. He was like Butler-esque in like Butler's second year. Nothing got by this kid. L.A. couldn't figure them out. It was just at the end, overwhelmed them with their defense and their running.
Stop you. Who's going to cover Greek the Freak tonight there, Jimmy Stewart?
Jaylen Brown's not playing.
Yeah, right? I would have thought Brown, but he's not going to play with this foot thing.
Morris.
Yeah.
See, well, good one, Morris.
Yeah, Morris isn't athletic enough,
it's
though.
It's long.
Got the size.
I'd start with Tatum, believe it or not. That's where I'd go.
It's not Horford?
No. He can't hang with him either.
Tatum on Greek the Freak?
Yeah, give it a shot.
I'm with Jimmy on this. I think Morris is the better player.
I mean, he'll devour either one of them.
Morris will give him kidney punches and just wear him right. down.
So there's some truth to that, probably. Might elbow him in the throat or something.
What's the line? What's the betting line?
I'm going to guess Celtics by 5.
Okay.
This is my guess.
What was the other thing that he said? Oh, the Packers defense. They have a few guys who can play, but they're just so colossally stupid. They are the kind of team that doesn't double Gronk. You watch them, like they never take the opponent into account. Like they will play, when they play Minnesota, they play Stephon Diggs straight up. Straight up to the very last series of the game, 2-point conversion to tie the game with a second left on the clock. They will let someone go one-on-one with Stephon Diggs. They don't game plan. They don't really game plan to the opponent. They just sort of run their stuff, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
They were stupid for letting Micah Hyde go, who's now with Buffalo.
Love that guy.
Celtics by 2.5.
Ooh, low.
See? 2.5.
Okay. I laid the 2.5. I'd take the Celtics.
Okay. You don't want the Bucks to win tonight and the Packers to win on Sunday. Then you'll have a 2 cheese balls right on your kisser come Monday morning here on Felger and Maz. We've got the final word coming. What did Maz go for Halloween? That's what everyone wants to know. What did Maz go as for Halloween? We have that answer for you right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go.
Nobody.
Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free
Nobody,
services.
Jim.
Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Red Maz. Is he downloading the Brown Report?
I just got that. I'm not sure what he's doing.
Oh, well.
Hey, Danny pissed him off so much he wanted out.
he finally lost it, eh?
Danny, you broke him.
He opted out.
Oh, he opted out, right.
Very good.
So you did want to lead with something
Maz-related.
Yeah.
So listen, I mean, these are visuals. This is more for the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, but the radio audience can follow along. What does Maz go as for Halloween? Let's throw up the picture on NBC Sports Boston so we can reveal it on TV. He went as Murray?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy G. That second picture right there is Maz in a full Jimmy Garoppolo jersey and helmet giving Zoe the finger inside the studio. As Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, did you actually go out trick-or-treating as Jimmy Garoppolo?
No. Actually, my son wore the costume.
So your son went as Jimmy Garoppolo?
He did. My initial plan was to wear the Garoppolo helmet and jersey, which we bought for the purposes of the show this year, as you know, until Jimmy G got hurt. Then we had to put it in the locker. And that was the end of that. But my son couldn't find his costume from last year and asked me about the Jimmy G, which I was planning to wear on the show yesterday, but He didn't have a Halloween costume, so I sent it home for him.
Oh, my God. So you've indoctrinated your children in your bullcrap.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Good job.
Oh, yeah. No, excellent. I get my other one went as Tyler Sagan.
And did you?
That was a joke.
Did you place in the company costume contest?
No.
Not at all, huh?
No. You know what won, right? Did you tell people who won?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, you have no idea?
None.
Well, you remember we got a delivery here a couple of months ago?
Oh, yeah. Like the 14,000 tons of weed?
Yeah. So four people went in on a collaborative cost, and one of them actually went as the package of weed.
That's good.
They won.
That's good. All right, and while we're doing visuals, just real quick, we all got this email today. I'm not going to read the email because the emailer wasn't very nice. Like, he was actually angry that this happened, that I did this. Like, no wonder you have no focus, and no wonder you don't... Like, he wasn't nice about it or funny about it, but... Sometimes when we come back from commercial here on NBC Sports Boston, this camera behind us picks up what you have on your computer screen. I guess I sort of forgot this because on my computer screen, you can see right there is a gal in a bathing suit. It's like a Baywatch gal.
Yeah, very much looks like Pam Anderson or something.
Yeah, I would say something like that.
And I totally nailed. I was going through some slideshow, and when I saw the email, I'm like, oh, damn it. But it's... I've totally nailed. And I'm like, what? I couldn't remember what the hell it was. And then I remembered it was a slideshow for rock band groupies. Great rock band groupies. So maybe that was Pam Anderson. I don't know.
Yeah, she was one of the greats of all time with Tommy Lee. So
but I don't think it was. I think that there was another. But anyway, I got sucked into one of those cheesy, they're really like ads, right? The slideshows.
Yeah.
And I'm just mindlessly there. You're like clicking on the slideshows. And yeah, I got nailed.
That's funny. That's not the picture I think of her when I think of Tommy Lee.
But, you know, God forbid, don't ever turn that camera on for Zoe, because you don't want to know what's on that fella's computer.
Yeah, well, that's just part of not really a great day for you overall there, Felger.
Oh, as, no, I got
you
sorry.
Were convicted of not listening today.
Sorry. Guilty.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
I mean, should he give me some more time? I mean, how have you felt about Raymond Claiborne? Not Raymond Claiborne.
Raymond Claiborne.
How do you feel about Adrian Claiborne?
Disappointment.
Mostly useless.
I haven't noticed him.
He's had two sacks.
The point where he just called him a cornerback who used to play in the 70s.
Yeah, who was good.
Yeah, no, he was good. I forgot. I forget about Adrian Claiborne a lot.
Yeah, he hasn't done much. So Rivers has gotten a little more time in the last couple of weeks, right? But again, it doesn't feel like, I don't know, he's invisible in the run game. I don't ever remember seeing him involved at all in the run game. In the preseason, he flashed a little bit, but against backups.
I mean, not to judge, you shouldn't judge it on this, but just, I'm asking, how many sacks does he have?
Who, Claiborne?
Yeah.
Two.
I think it's two.
Did you just say that?
Yeah.
I am sorry.
That's all right, Jimmy, pull it.
Sorry.
Murray wants revenge.
This has been to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Classic case.
Yeah, that and along with, let's see, the Patriots of the 2000s, Steelers of the 70s, the Cowboys in the 90s, the Ming. They're all types of, what's the word I'm looking for?
I'm telling you, the first half of the dynasty. Dynasty. The first half of the of the dynastic run.
I thought you were having a stroke.
I'm telling you, the first half of the dynasty. Dynasty. The first half of the of the dynastic run.
I thought you were just going to blow right by it. I was going to let it go.
No.
No, I knew you got messed up there.
Even that one was too glaring to let
just
let go.
It barely happens to me, but every once in a while you will stumble across it.
Not all the synapses are firing on the right cylinders there, Maz.
Yeah, Felger, I think the Sox are the start of a dynasty.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.